Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
More about the heart of leadership than the heart of leadership. What their power does is their hope.
Show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining, friends. Thanks for joining this Sunday evening. No matter where you are in this world, no matter what the role you have a purpose, and you're a leader in that purpose. And our goal here is simple, to inspire and equip all to lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will. Get us on cue with His call in His life and our purpose, and get us on cue with others on cue with that purpose. So what is cue? It's C-U-E. It is how Nehemiah, a model transformation leader, took a starved, desperate people, isolated people, to building a wall, building a way of life around, building a wall around Jerusalem, and building a way of life. He cued them up. C-U-E. C is common ground. What can we agree on is really the why. U is the what, unified thought. What vision can we share? And then E, equally yoke, what is the game plan, what's my role in it, and what success look like? So Q leadership, in general, integrates these biblical principles of leadership and using Nehemiah as a model and helping you do two things. One, get people to trust you, and two, get people to follow you, discipleship. It is the axis of leadership, as we call it. So we always start our show with our quick prayer. Lord, You are all-powerful, merciful God. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank for this opportunity to come and serve You. Lord, lead us and bless this ministry, our audience, and all that are serving You. Lord, we know that this Q leadership is Your brainchild and our calling. In Your name, we honor You today by doing two things, giving You the glory and impact and serving this generation through Q. Lord, Your word in Romans 12:2 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Lord, please use this ministry to complete my purpose, our purpose, to align, to equip, and transform new leaders in your glory. Help us, others hear the call, receive the call, and help us to raise some transformational leaders and some gatekeepers in your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our purpose is, as always, to have a dialogue, have a conversation about leadership in God's Word, equip leaders with a roadmap in order to tap into the ability to build trust and build follow discipleship, highlight leaders, everyday leaders who are making a difference and that can testify to God's goodness. And our show is not to criticize, but to shine a light and some truth and love. Not to tell you or friends what to do, but to provide a different lens to see things. And it's not to focus on the mere problems, symptoms of a problem, but the root of the problem. So we really want to not treat the runny nose, but actually just go to the infection instead. So today, as with any day, let's be open that we hear the Lord and not me, have the right questions, no matter the difference. Remember that this life and everything we're talking about is about love. And there will be differences of opinions, of course, but let us do what a true transformational leader says. Let us agree without being disagreeable, and let's be thought partners and have this fruitful dialogue. So the last week, we kicked off our show discussing the odorless and colorless, tasteless and arsenic. The poison, the toxin used is really the poison of choice in the 17th century. This Roman entrepreneur who ran a school and who taught wealthy young wives to how to dispatch husbands and become wealthy widows. This toxin was used for cruel intentions, including changes in leadership. Arsenic was considered the poison of kings and the king of poisons. You know, on the flip side, though, arsenic is also used for life. It treat ulcers, treat asthma, to cancer, treat syphilis before penicillin came abundant, and treat leukemia. So a natural question was arsenic a poison or a remedy? And the answer was both. It depends on if you were talking to that 17th century Roman entrepreneur or if you were talking to a doctor. There's much that fits from toxins of the world that are colorful and tasteful and odorful. But, you know, but there are, you know, what of all the toxins of the world that affect us that we can see, taste, and hear? And from economically, socially, educationally, and as well as politically, which includes worldly things that we all participate in some form or fashion, like music, culture, movies, and TVs. You know, friends, I submit to you that one thing, the one toxin that's considered consistent, no matter what the aspect of society we explore, as I shared last week, and on every show, is leadership. The failure in leadership is at the root of these challenges, and the toxic leadership is all around us. So just like arsenic, is leadership a toxin or a remedy? The answer is both. It really depends on who you're talking to, if you talk to the leader or the follower, which kicks off our question of the day of this series, toxic leadership. Who, me? This is a three-part series for toxic leadership where we covered in part one, confronting the reality. And we had some great guests, the Smith brothers, who took inventory, helped us take inventory of ourselves in events of 2013, and where we asked the events and people, was that leadership or not, to kind of determine how much we're consuming of that, and really was honest. What are some of the things that we're birthing because of that? If you get a chance to listen in, please go back to Blog Talk Radio and listen in on that show. Be blessed to hear that. So since we confronted this reality, though, now let's assess the impacts or damages on us. You know, it's really, what is the disease that this reality caused? Better yet, the dis-ease that affects our lives, which brings us to the topic of assessing that dis-ease. So let's step back and define disease in a sense. So it's really a disorderly or incorrectly functioning organ, a part or structure or system of body resulting from some effect from errors, infections, poisons, nutritional deficiency, imbalances, toxicity, that's a great word, and unfavorable environments, really just creating ailment, sickness, and as well as illnesses. The second part of that is an abnormal condition in a plant that interferes with its vital physiological processes, you know, from its body parts and so forth. It's really a harmful deviation from the normal structural functioning state of an organism. It's really diseased in a sense. And the last piece is a harmful, deprived, morbid condition as a mind of society. And so that's essentially what we've been discussing about the whole society's impact on our leadership and essentially creating some level of toxin that really impacts every part of society. So last week we heard a very but consistent, but for the most part, of course, views on events and leaders of today and how leadership impacts our society. As our definition states, as a disorderly, incorrectly functioning organ, part system of a body, or what we call, from Q leadership perspective, the societal ecosystem, which includes four pillars, economics, education, social, and as well as politics, and how the infection, the poison, deficiency, the imbalances of these environments, really the toxin, impact our lives. So we picked up these four pillars through the conversation. We'll go through them fairly quickly just to give you a recap. Politically, we picked up two politicians from both sides of the aisle here in America, Anthony Weiner, who had done a great job for his constituents but never confronted the reality of his toxin of sexting, among other things, that really impacted him in his career. You know, take a Ted Cruz, who we had a good debate on if this was leadership of helping shut down the government or greed. But we did agree on the same venom that we saw from him, and as well as that we see on the other side of the aisle, the visual, the toxin, the being disagreeable exists on Capitol Hill throughout all our country. And so on the economic front, we discussed the failure leadership in corporations, leaders being ill-equipped to lead and surround themselves with their own amen corner, the people who co-sign on every move, and even where we talked about people like Carl Icahn, who's forcing himself on a lot of corporations, but it really the genesis of it is around leadership, where he's been labeled an activist, a disruptor of cancer, but at the same time, he's really just trying to create value in an organization. There's different opinions are there, of course. But on the educational front, we did not focus on the negative, but rather the life of Antoinette Tough, who gave a child who was about to shoot up a school, gave him life. The media tried to explain how this was possible and did not understand the power of the Spirit of God, and they labored her belief in some cases archaic. And so that was pretty surprising to see some of that in the medias and the articles during that time. And socially, which is always a good topic and we can debate and from all angles, we talked about the legalization of marijuana and as well as a crack smoking mayor in Toronto. But I think the best discussion came from our topic around social, the new show, The Preachers of L.A., which our topic, toxic leadership, really kind of took flight. Our guests really called it, say it was not leadership, they called it foolishness, where the quote of the day came from, where why are we trying to elevate a man, a in quotes, and not elevate the man, in quote, in a sense, trying to elevate a pastor or preacher, not elevate God himself. And so we were trying to understand if the man of God was being glorified in this, or if it was about preachers, or whatever that show was about. But the show, in a sense, was a word and not necessarily the word of God. So there's always debates around that. But another quote really summed up the show and the topic around toxin. Brother Nehemiah said the church gave the world order. And the world did not give the church order. The world just perverted the order that it was given, and the perverted order that the world uses, the church has allowed to stay away, allowed to stay in the world. And that was so powerful, where when I heard that, that really summed up or really moved us into the next parts of the three-part series. That perverted order is the toxin. It is confronted the reality that this perverted order has our society, going back to the definitions, on a disordered, incorrectly functioning mechanism infected by these toxins. It is the infection, the poison, the nutritional deficiencies and imbalances that impact our created unfavorable environment. It is perverting our leadership in our homes, our businesses, our damaging the very fabric that holds our society, our societal ecosystem together. Now, since we confronted this reality, now let's assess the impacts of its damages. You know, what is the diseases does this reality cause? Well, better yet, what is the disease that infect our lives? As we assess this disease, we'll take heed of this second part of that definition, some abnormal condition interfering with some vital physiological processes, whether our human spirit and body, mind, body, and spirit. And this harmful deviation, this perverted order, has some signs and some symptoms. And so what we're going to try to tackle this evening is, how did these perversions happen? How do we know when we see them? And what did this perverted order birth? What has it created, and what has continued to create? So after the break, we'll discuss these symptoms in the context of those questions. So during the break, stay with us, log in and share your thoughts and around the symptoms of this perverted order. Then we'll discuss the root of these diseases, of this dis-ease, and how this happened, how do we know when we see these things, and how does this perverted order, what does it birth or create? So stay with us. If we're taking calls, and if you agree or disagree, we're welcome to log in at Blog Talk Radio. Call us at 310-861-2331. That is 310-861-2331. And once you log in, hit the button to raise your hand for comment or ask a question. And when you raise your hand, Madora Kennedy here can see you and bring you into the discussion. So, friends, we'd love to hear from you. Please call us at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
I think it's great for not only from the perspective of learning leadership, learning different qualities that you need in leadership, but also what is possible. You know, if you see the leader that you're following right now on the wrong side of that matrix, well, make a change. You might want to make a change. So not only from, I know for me, it's making me assess my own self. Say, where do I realistically fit? Who can I get to critique me, to be honest with me, on where do I fit on this matrix? We all know what we want to be. But the question is, where are we now? What do we need to do to get there? So, look.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
This workshop really is a good thing of being part of the whole community, being on cue, as relates to more than leadership style, but having the tools that we need to be successful in the community. What did you learn? I learned more about the heart of leadership than the heart of leadership. But every power that an organization needs makes the leader come alive.
Thank you for
using this,
bud.
It should be mandatory part of every church pre-nutrition plan, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum, not only releasing the person for better leadership, but the person for better life.
Thanks for staying with us. You're listening on cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple. Equip leaders to lead where they are, and by getting us on cue with God's will and his purpose. Follow us on Twitter at Q Leadership, and we're taking calls. If you want to chime in, please log in to Blog Talk Radio through the link that provided there and on cue, and call us at 310-861-2331, and once you're logged in, hit the button to raise your hand in order to ask a question or comment, and we'll bring you into the show. So today's question, toxic leadership, who me? We're focusing on assessing the disease or the dis-ease, and as we assess the dis-ease, we take heed of the second part of a definition of a shared as an abnormal condition that interferes with vital physiological processes. Those processes you can think about from a body perspective is no longer in perfect harmony. This harmful deviation, this perverted order has some signs and symptoms. You know, we must consider the human spirit and treatment of some of these physical and emotional disharmonies. If your body is sick and tired and it affects you spiritually and vice versa, your spirit with you wherever you go, the conditions that you're living in at the same time, your mind, body, and spirit are inseparable. And disease, therefore, is also often an imbalance between that mind, body, and spirit. So when we see this perversion when it comes to leadership, how does this happen? How did this happen? How did we know when we see it? And what this perversion or order birthed? And so to answer the question, you know, we'll start. If you got any comments or perspectives on that, feel free to dial in and call us. But to answer that, we have to go to the beginning. We have to go to the beginning, the origin of this perverted order. The book of Genesis, chapter 3, where Adam and Eve ate the fruit and led the fall of man. So we have to go back to understand go back in the history and understand what happened and how it affects us today and how this happened. How did this deceit really manage this perversion in a sense? It took a good and clean, something good and clean and perverted it. What was the toxin? You know, like any other toxin, if you think about from arsenic perspective, it needs a source, okay? What's the source of the oxygen? Of the toxin, it needs a cocktail in a sense, say, the conduit, the pathway in order to administer it. And thirdly, it needs a host. And so the source, as we all know, is the great deceiver. It was Satan himself as the serpent. And the conduit, you can say that, you can say that it was the fruit, but I believe it was a lie. It was a lie itself. And the host, of course, man, needed one of us in order to create this perverted order. And the source of the great deceiver as a serpent, you know, there's history. There's probably some missing history there, but we understanding that, you know, when the Lord made all things, animals and everything on the land and water and sea and everything, he made everything and he said everything was good. So what we don't know is when and how and how Satan entered the serpent. But ultimately, that's probably for another show. But just like the kings and wives of the old administering arsenic in the food and from breast milk that we talked about last week, the cocktail in itself was disguised with something. It was disguised with some truth. It was disguised with the truth of the Word of God, in a sense, go from the word to a word. So last week we touched on leaders with these crafty tongues that deceive those who they serve. And with deception in mind, we go to the conversation with Eve and Satan in verse 3. And Satan said, did God really say you must not eat any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. And then Satan says something. He says, you will not surely die. You will not surely die. What a choice of words. The first lie, in a sense. The first deception. That was beginning of the cocktail right there, disguised in the truth. You will not surely die. He's saying that you'll die, but you're not surely die. So it created some level of doubt in Eve's head. So this was, if you think about it, this was a blatant denial of a specific divine pronouncement from God. It was specific, divine pronouncement, and it was just blatant denial. That was the first problem, and it was a divine pronouncement needed no interpretation, and everyone knew it and knew that what it needed to be. So in verse 5, Satan goes on and said, "For God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now look at that next deception. For God knows. Here Satan infers that God is being less than honest, that God is keeping something from Eve. And Satan really accused of God having some unworthy motives there. So that's a pretty powerful tongue there in the perverted order that's really just starting to seep through that cocktail. The next deception or part of the cocktail was your eyes will be open. And that statement was true, was only true, but it was half true. But the promise of Satan turned out to be quite different. You know, Satan gave, as Nehemiah and his brother Jock said last week, a indefinite word about a definite divine word of God. And so you say he said you will be like God, and they were not like him, of course. But the comma in this is that they both felt naked and ashamed in the place of joy and fellowship with God Himself. So you know when you that whole cocktail, the whole level of deceit continues on when you go to verse six, when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good and the food was tasting, you know, when do you know that, let me stop, take a step back. When do you know when you see it though? You know, when even in everyday terms, when do you know that you're being deceived? And sometimes someone's words are so much like honey, and it can be a leader, it can be your pastor, it can be your husband, it can be your wife, it can be anybody. How do you know when you see it, when you see and hear this type of deceit? So in order to do that, you go to verse 6, where the woman saw that the fruit of the trees was good for the food, it was pleasing to the sight and all desirable for gaining wisdom. You know, there are three parts in that, and this whole temptation and aspect of this that created this whole, that allowed this cocktail to come through, was the first part was good for food. It was good for consuming. It knew it tastes good, just like probably the other fruits of the trees that were there. And I'm sure, you know, in their mind, a little bite would not necessarily hurt. So, you know, if you know, in a sense, though, when you talk about good for food, you know, look at the things that you consume. You know, I use social media and use things each and every day in order to lift and move the ministry forward from Q Leadership. But if Facebook is the only book that you read for your nourishment, let's question ourselves, right? So understanding that everything that's good to consume is not always good for your body. So a little bite from a show, a little bite from, you know, as we talked about the legalization of marijuana last week for low glaucoma, I mean, a little bit may not hurt. But at the same time, how does it impact your temple, as our guest said on last week? So the second part of this temptation, in a sense, that when you know what you see, it's pleasing to the eye. That is how temptation mostly starts. It's a little, as we call it nowadays, is a little eye candy, right? So it is maybe a new car, even though we are overextended in a huge amount of debt. It could be a television show. Just because it's edgy, it's not too bad, doesn't have too much in it, but something we can live with, right? It could be a new wife, just because you found the one more attractive. We've all heard stories like that. And it's not here to judge, but really shine a light on some things when you see this perversion into action. You know, how do you know when you see it? You've understood that how it's formed, where it came from, the root of it is from Satan and his deceit. But then, you know, what is the third aspect of that verse was the verse about when he talked about gaining wisdom. You know, a couple of shows ago we were talking about New Year's resolution, why they don't stick. And part of that, the last piece of that is why they don't stick is why about karma. When New Year resolution is pretty astounding, we always talk about that. We don't always get the same result. So that they really got wisdom. They became self-aware. Adam and Eve, they gained the knowledge, became aware of their own nakedness. But if we think about nakedness and shame is interchangeable here in Hebrew, they both translate to almost the same meaning. So when you hear you talk about nakedness or shame, assembly, they are the same. So they confronted the reality that they were no longer innocent. They knew they were naked and they were ashamed of it, and therefore they became fully self-aware, and it became about them at that moment. So remember that point of it becoming about them. They became smart. They made some leads, they stitched together some leads and covered themselves, and they really needed that ability to improvise a little bit later and learn to adapt to be useful, because they're going to be launched into a cruel world in order to try to manage and live. So lastly, they attempted with those leaves to fix a problem, a feeble and futile attempt to really hide their shame. They wanted to hide their nakedness, but not knowing, not going the magnitude of their actions, but not knowing that God was the only one who could cover this shame, this nakedness. So how do you know when you see it? How do you really know what you say? So you can sum those three things up. Good for consuming, and you always have a question of it. Pleasing to the eye and it's about you gaining wisdom. And that deception perfected the order of us. It really infected the order of a sacred, divine garden that was pure in communion and fellowship and harmony of God. I think we all as believers are waiting or trying to get back to that day of where we're in complete harmony and fellowship with all Almighty once we go beyond this world. And so, of course, Christ brought that back to us, allow us to get back to that, to him in that. But can you imagine yourself in the garden, in the Eden, and not doing the same thing that Adam and Eve did, being perverted by this order? So, you know, when you look at all of this, and know I've been focusing on, you know, the genesis of it, and as well as how we see it. But if you I want to pull in the leadership piece into this. And you know, as leadership always starts with an idea. As I said, hey, here, where's the common ground? What is it? What is it we can agree on here, right? And in the beginning, it was divine order, and that divine order was to trust and follow God. It's simple. And as we sum up that perverted order of today's society as a result of bad leadership, leadership was that is not tied to God's will. And so that leadership of today is not tied to God's will, just like it was not tied to Adam and Eve. So think about it. So any leader with an idea, you need a leader, you need a co-signer, you need the amen corner, as we talked about earlier, a follower. And notice the perverted order, okay? The divine order in this was God to Adam, then Adam to Eve. But that perverted order, you notice, started from Satan to Eve, to Eve to Adam. So Adam became the co-signer of Satan's leadership through Eve. So you pick a leader. Pick a situation we're talking about today. So ask yourself, are we starting with that perverted order and then leading and impacting our society, our businesses, our communities, our families? Or are we starting with that divine order, getting on key with God's will and his purpose, and moving this world forward? And I say the same applies when it comes to that. So when I want everyone to bake on that a little bit as we go into the break. And so after the break, we'll take some calls and comments regarding what do we see is that some of that divine, that perverted order, and some of this dis-ease that we're challenged with. And then we will go into the next session of this understanding what the impacts, what are some of the things that we see as we're birthing in this society. So if we're taking calls, if you want to chime in, please log in at Blog Talk Radio and call us at 310-861-2331. Once you log in, push the button to raise your hand to ask a question. And we'd love to hear from you. Please call us at 310-861-2331. 2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with his calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
I think it's great for not only from the perspective of learning leadership, learning different qualities that you need in leadership, but also who to follow. You know, if you see the leader that you're following right now on the wrong side of that matrix, well, you might want to make a change. You might want to make a change. So not only from, I know for me it's making me assess my own self. Say, where do I realistically fit? Who can I get to?
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
This workshop really is a good thing of being part of the whole community, being on cue, as it relates to more than leadership style, but having the tools that we need to be successful in the community. What did you learn? I learned more about the heart of leadership than the heart of leadership. But Eric Powell does an organization is make the leader of the community come alive.
It should be
a mandatory part of every church pre-nutrition plan, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum basically needs not only leadership for better leadership, but leadership for better life.
And we're back. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. And so remember, our mission here is to equip leaders to lead where they are and to get people, get us on cue with God's will and his purpose. So follow us at Twitter at Cue Leadership. And we're taking calls, and feel free to call us in at 310-861-2331. And once you log in, we'll hit the button to raise your hand, and we'll chime in. So, friends, we'd love to hear from you. So today's question is toxic leadership. And so we have, I think we have a someone on the line. Jock, are you on? Guess we lost him. So is there anyone else on the line, had a comment? Is he back? Okay. All right, so we're talking about, you know, what does this perverted order birth? We've started with the whole notion of helping us understand, you know, what does it look like? How do we recognize it? What is the genesis of it? And we talked about, you know, how did this happen, starting with the whole deceit from a Satan perspective and how he used a cocktail of deceit, and we were the host from the perspective in order to facilitate this perverted order to really disrupt this perfect fellowship, pure fellowship with God Almighty and the Garden of Eden. And so Satan used, of course, that first lie starting the process. So you're not surely die. He used a choice of words in order really to start facilitating the skies in the truth. And so lots of times where we may get caught up in a few things, we'll use the Lord's word in some form or fashion and get caught up and mix things and not necessarily bring the word of God, but necessarily a word from ourselves. And so when we think about, you know, what happens and as well as how is this disguised and how do we know, you know, what does the perverted order look like? What is it birth from our perspective? And so, you know, when we go to verse 14, and we look at, and so the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offsprings and hers, and he will crush your head. And he will take, and you will strike his heel, of course. And so he said to Eve, though, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe, and that painful labor you will give birth to children you desire. You'll be for your husband, he will rule over you. And to Adam, cursed is the ground because of you. Through this painful toil, you'll eat from his food in all the days of his life. So it will produce thorns and thistles for you. And by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food and return to the ground, since it will be from you taken, and dust you are, you will return to it. So that's some of the things that there's some things in there of really parallels of what we're happening today, and that we're birthing. We're taking in what society given us. It's perverting us, just as we talked about, that the world has the perverted order. We got to leave it out of the church. But when we're going to take this call, we have a caller, and who has some comments, and we'll pick the birthing portion up afterwards. So who we have? Jock?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Hey, thanks for calling in.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. What's your thought on the initial set of questions about the dis-ease, and how do you know when it's apparent, and as well as, you know, what's caused the whole perversion that we've talked about over the last few weeks?
Well, I mean, I was listening to you, and you referenced Genesis and how the nakedness and was really, you know, the shame, okay?
Right.
And so what happened is I think that's the way to identify these toxins or this process, you know, this disease, is that if it gives you, if you are versed in the Word of God and it gives you And I think God imposes, you know, gives us that spirit in being able to discern if it gives us a negative feeling before mm-hmm. you make this decision. And this is where you have to go and talk to God, right? And so,
right.
And he will, and I think his spirit works in you in that it will help you discern what is right, what is wrong. I think a lot of times we try to make, you hear people say it all the time, this is a gray area. This decision we have to make the decision that is the lesser of two evils.
Right.
You know, those types of things. And we're creating gray areas. We're creating gray areas. I think a lot more decisions are really black and white, black or white, and mm-hmm. you will be able to see that in the spirit that God has, you know, in you, and being able to tell that, hey, will I feel shameful if I do this? Is this a good thing to do in God's name?
Yeah, what
would
I feel
even
exposed?
Do in God's name?
Right.
Would I even do this in God's name? You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and so if you can't make those black or white decisions, then it's probably not the right thing to do. I think we talked about that last week. You know, whenever you find yourself in situations where it's always a toss-up and you're guessing and you're trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong, is probably the wrong thing to do. And there's nothing wrong with being conservative.
Yeah, understood. So let's take that whole element, how you identify. And you said a key word is discernment. And
right.
Say more from your perspective, how does someone get discernment? Is it wisdom? Is it knowledge? Is it experience? What's your thought around discernment?
I think it's all of the above, but I think the key factor in it is trying to keep yourself in God's order. One thing that you said is that, and so here's how, even in this first instance in the Bible, this is how discernment, you know, could have been handled. So, like you said earlier, The true and the right and the godly process was from God to Adam to Eve.
Right.
And you make decisions, right?
Right.
Well, then discernment should have told them that, hey, if it comes in any other order than that, okay, that's what discernment is. Being able to say, okay, I know what the order is. I know what the order that God has is. Okay? Now, if it comes in any other order than that, then I have to question it immediately.
Sure. So let's speculate. If he had, and go down a rabbit hole, I'm not trying, but I want to take that point. If Satan had gone to Adam first, and not to discourage mm-hmm. Eve or anything of that nature. It is what it is, and we are what we are, and we've been saved from that. But what do you think he would have had the discernment, or is it they just haven't had the wisdom yet because they didn't need to do that at that point?
Do I think he would have had the discernment? I can't really say that he would. I mean, you have to maybe look at how he might have come to Adam, and that's the whole thing about the devil, right? And that's a good question in that, hey, if I'm trying to trick Eric, I'm mm-hmm. going to go to what I think Eric's weaknesses are.
Right.
Okay. If I'm going to try to trick Job, I'm not going to use typically – okay, I'm not going to use what I would do with Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Two different people.
Right.
So you know, and so my point being that, hey, he used one thing with Eve. He could have used something totally different with Adam and come up with the same outcome possibly, you know.
Right.
I think more so, I don't think it was so much of whether they were wise or not or had the experiences or not or this, that, and the other. It was like we said, let's not make it a gray area, you know. It was a black and white area. It was a black and white process. Hey, it comes from God, it goes to Adam, then it goes to Eve. Okay? Whether...
Yep.
And then so if you take Adam, and let's say the devil would have come to Adam in some form. Hey, it didn't come from God first.
Yep.
To Adam.
Still.
And then to
absolutely.
Eve.
Absolutely.
So
this whole discernment is also a cue, one of the key elements in our Q360, and where we're able to diagnose a leader, any leader, based upon the ability to lead. And discernment is one of those six key. And how we define it is the capacity to see things in God's viewpoint,
right.
Responding according to the principles of Scripture. Is really keeping with the reference. You know, sometimes, you know, you can be equipped with knowledge and wisdom that resulting from experiences and so forth, but you can also have that knowledge and wisdom and discernment from the Spirit, and that's more powerful for me, not just based upon your own experience. It allows you to navigate lies and deceit, make decisions. And here's the thing, make decisions without having the benefits of all the facts, not having the benefits of all of these things. And so I think to your point, though, discernment was key here, but also discernment is key as we move forward to today's society, all this gray area we're talking about, right?
Right, right.
And so when you find leaders, hey, we need to take the lesser of two evils, is that leadership?
I don't think it is. Not when they put it that way, I don't think it is.
Okay.
I mean, you're not looking for evil. You should be, you know, to say, I'm going to take the lesser of two evils.
I love that. You're not looking for evil.
I'm looking for the evil.
No.
But, you know,
but you know, though, this whole perverted order, maybe in a sense it is. You're not looking for it, but it's disguised, right? It's disguised as Satan's lips, those words that came off his lips. That truth was disguised in there. In order to somewhat validate somewhat what God said, but also invalidate at the same time. Makes sense?
So
when you to your point earlier, when you starting with that discernment, when you understand starting with God as your first point, your first decision point in making decisions, and where you are, and you anchor those things. You know, that's where really decision making, leadership starts, and it's right there in this first book of the Word, in black and white, in a sense, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, great. And so any other comments around? We talked about how do you see it, but what do you see some things that's being birthed as a result of it? We talked about a few things last week about events and so forth in 2013, high-level leadership that people, everyone, all our friends on radio would know about. But, you know, if you dig down deep, what are some of those things that we still need to deal with when it comes to shame, that nakedness?
Well, the you know, the one thing is that what shame promotes is deception, okay? And so when you look at this passage of the Word, then you find that Adam and Eve are hiding, you know, trying to hide their shame.
Right.
You know. And so notice shame, and now I'm going to try to deceive I'm going to try to hide, you know.
Right.
And what happens is the we find, and I think we have known this from this first instance in the Word, we find that the first step in correcting shame is to do what? Is to expose.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is to expose. You want to, and when I say expose, I mean to, you want to bring it forth. You want to bring the truth of the matter forth.
Confront
okay?
the reality.
You did, right. Right.
Absolutely.
You want to confront the reality. And you want to confront it immediately, and you want to confront it truthfully and with the right purpose in mind.
Right. And understand
that,
hey, there will be consequences.
I made the mistake.
Yep.
Right. I made the mistake. I did wrong. And I'm bringing this to the Lord. Okay. And now I have to accept my consequences for that. But
absolutely.
when you take this whole route of, okay, I'm shameful. Now I'm trying to deceive, okay? And then if you look at this whole passage, then the Lord said, and I'm paraphrasing, who told you you were naked?
Who told you that, right?
Right. Who told you that?
Right.
And the reason, and I think that's really key, I think that's really key into what we're talking about, in that, hey, that it didn't follow the process.
Right.
Somebody had to tell you something. Somebody had to tell you about this shamefulness. Somebody had to tell you about this nakedness. And it
that's
didn't
not
come
the divine
me.
Order of things. It is not the order.
That's
that
not
I set
the
forth.
Divine order of things.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so as leaders, what you find is you find a lot of leaders, and I think we kind of touched on it last week in that with the gentleman that ran for mayor in New York.
Yeah, Anthony Weiner.
The first thing, Anthony Weiner. You know, he was shameful, but then the first thing he did was try to do what? He tried to deceive.
Right.
He denied it. The launch.
He stitched some leaves together and tried to cover it up.
Exactly. Exactly. And then when he did confront it head on, it was done from a political state, not
right.
a spiritual state.
Right. This politics was his first decision-making point. It wasn't the Lord.
Once again, he did not follow the process.
Absolutely. The divine order. Absolutely. Hey, well, John, with that, hey, thanks for calling and participating and sharing your perspective. Always thought provoking, and feel free to please continue to listen in. If you see something, hear something else, ping us and we'll bring you in. Okay.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thanks. So we got another call on the line, and it's a little guy's from Northern Alabama, right? And 256 Gladys.
Yes. Yeah.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. So what's your thoughts?
My thought, I was listening to you and the caller, and, you know, he was saying about a discernment. You know, we as children and Christians, we got to try the Spirit by the Spirit to see what is of God. And then as leaders, God gives us the Word of God as the root and as the foundation on anything. If what the words say, that's what God means. And just like when Adam and Eve was in the garden and she was tempted. Well, they were tempted. She ate and she gave to her husband. But then if you go to Jesus in the New Testament when he was tempted of the enemy, it was the same thing that Adam and Eve was tempted of, the pride of life, the pride of eye, and the lust of the flesh. And so by the word of God, Jesus was over. He was able to overcome the enemy. So even as for toxics and leadership, it's because either or they're not following the word of God, or they're not telling the whole truth in it. And by you have to get the truth by studying the word of God, and then the Spirit of God will lead and guide you into all truth. And no one's perfect, but you got leaders out there that are standing on that word, and they're teaching a solid, you know, a solid word, even in this time when it seems like nobody's doing right. There are still people that are holding up the word of God.
Amen to that, and we definitely know that, you know, but all we see is just the opposite, right? All we see, television, radio, it just depends on what you expose yourself to, right? And more and more of those leaders that who are standing at the gates, as we call our gatekeepers, more and more we need to be out front fighting and sharing that there is a divine order. There is a one truth of things. And so, so when we think about things of not that word, how do we ensure that we get people back into that divine order when it comes to leadership, from your perspective?
Well, I believe we start, you know, we depend so much on what the TV said and what man say, but we got to start back in the church. First, we got to start in our homes. We as people of God, we got to start in our home, teaching that very foundation, making sure it's a rock solid foundation. Then when we go to the church, you know, the pastors are doing it, and it won't be so hard because you've already instituted it in your home, and it won't, you know, cause a confusion. Sometimes, you know, we love in the church, but it's not necessarily going on in our home, and it's kind of lopsided there. So we got to make sure our homes are covered, and then it won't be so hard for leadership once you go into the church. That's just my opinion.
So you know, the whole mission is to help people lead where they are. They are, and it is starting at the homes. I believe the family is the very fabric foundation of what our society is. And so when we get back to that, that's when we start some of this perverted disorder move forward and move out of the way.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
To your point from last, or if you got a chance to listen to last week's show, is where I started with the whole quote from last week of saying that perverted order that the world created needs to stay out of the church, needs to stay out of the church. When we look at the whole notion, how do people, and then we talked about discernment, right? How do we ensure, how do listeners, our friends who are listening, understand when it is all the truth, when it's the whole truth, right? You when you hear things, you're not just really going after the honey on somebody's lips or some action. How do you help people? How do they know? How do they get to that point to know they are listening
We gotta study to show ourselves approved.
Yep.
We gotta study the word of God, and that's the only way truth is gonna come out. And just like he breathed every word into the prophets and people that wrote the word of God. And we got to believe that God's word is God's word, and we got to stand on it, not try, you know, you can argue all day based on I'm Methodist, I'm Catholic, I'm Pentecostal, but what does the word say? The foundation is Jesus. No matter what place you go or how you take it, the bottom line is Jesus Christ was crucified and he rose again. He came to earth. He was here, he ministered, and then God took him on. And if we get back to loving and doing what Jesus did when he was, he left us a blueprint. And all we got to do is just get back to that.
And so let me pick up something else you said. And you're so right. And I believe one of the biggest perverted orders that we're dealing with as society, and Satan is orchestrating, and he's doing it without having to pick up a finger, because we're doing it for him. Because we are focusing on why our religion or why our word or why our program, why our singers, why our preachers, why our churches are different.
Mm-hmm.
Why, you know, that on Sunday you kind of think about it, in lots of cases, probably the most segregated place on this earth, because we're all focusing on our differences rather than going right back to the core. Right back to that divine order, Jesus Christ.
Right.
What's your thoughts on that? Am I going overboard on thinking that way? But I just think that he is orchestrating something that we need to recognize, confront that reality, and do something about.
Well, I know in the book of Acts, you know, when the church was first, you know, instituted, or if that's the word, and then God allowed them to be dispersed in different areas because he wanted the gospel to get out, not necessarily start denomination. His whole purpose was so that we would go out and preach to all nations, baptizing them and teaching them about the truth in Jesus Christ. And, you know, you could talk about denominations all day, and, you know, everybody has their opinion, but I think the institution of his church started in Acts, and all he wanted us to do was go out and tell people about a death, burial, and resurrection of, you know, Jesus Christ. That's my feeling on that, and we, as man, you know, we did that.
Yeah.
I don't think that was his permit. Yeah, I don't. It's my opinion. I don't believe that was his intent when he first started the church. He just wanted us to get out and tell people about Jesus, so that they would be saved. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you for calling in, and please continue to listen in for the rest of the show. We're going to take a quick break. If you got some other things to add, we can hold you on and pick that up after the break if you still want to share a few more points if you have those in your spirit right here tonight. But so after the break, we'll continue the dialogue. So stay with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. And you can call us at 310-861-2331, and we'll be right back.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with his calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
I think it's great for not only from the perspective of learning leadership, learning different qualities that you need in leadership, but also what is fun. You know, if you see the leader that you're following right now on the wrong side of that matrix, well, you might want to make a change. You might want to make a change. So not only from, I know for me, it's making me assess my own self. Say, where do I realistically fit? Who can I get to?
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
This workshop really gives us good time of being part of the whole community, being on cue, as it relates to more than leadership style, but having to do with the leaders to be successful in their work. What did you learn? I learned more about the heart of leadership than the heart of leadership. But their power in an organization is making their own community come alive.
On Cue, I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is to equip leaders to lead where they are by getting us on cue with God's will. Follow us at Twitter at Cue Leadership. We thank everyone for the calls who've logged in here at Blog Talk Radio and who's shared a perspective. You know, so friends, we'd definitely love to hear from you, so continue to call us at 310-861-2331. And we're picking up the question of today and as well as over this three-part series of Toxic Leadership, Who Me. The first part we talked about confronting the reality. We looked at our society and as we see it and understand what are some of the things that are happening that are creating this whole what we call perverted order. So this week we are assessing the dis-ease of that perverted order, and we talked about, we focused on, you know, how did this happen, this whole perverted order. We went back to the genesis of when it first happened as the fall of man and how that really move forward to into today, and some of those same symptoms, same issues around those toxins that deception and deceit and fear create within our lives and heart and our spirit. And so what we want to do for this next segment is talk about, you know, what does some of these things birth and create. And there's no doubt, there is no doubt that we have people, we have gatekeepers, we have leaders who are standing on the word of God and who are really talking about his truth and sharing it with people. We just want people who are in our homes or listening to just come out of the shadows, because at some point, at sometime soon, Lord, we need to call in some of his leaders in order to really make an impact in society, because our work here is not done. And that's part of what our ministry is all about, helping people get on cue with that will and understand their purpose. And really assess and confront the reality of where they are and how these toxins themselves put weights on their own leadership and their own heart of leadership in a sense. And then how do we put together a plan in order to move it forward? So, you know, part of what we've been taking some calls regarding the perspective on what Satan had and what he was able to do and how he created this whole perverted order that perpetuates a lot of stuff we do today. And so we have a few comments through text and Facebook we wanted to bring on. And it said that Adam was tempted and failed by Eve, and many different churches and denominations present today, Babylon, and all the mega churches trying to unite Jesus. We'll come back and build the biggest church, and no one is understanding the word, even though it's the root of the same. God said he wants us to understand the other, and wants the church. I can't get the other part of it, but I think the whole notion here is understanding that we need to unite. We need to unite on the word of God and on the truth and love. And when Jesus come back on this one church, he will unite us all, but we need to understand that the common ground is about him and about love. And so the whole differences that we talk about in each and every day or each and every Sunday where we're separating from each other about how we praise, how we sing, what our programs look like, how we park, how we dress, all of those things, Lord asks us to come as we are, and we can debate those things throughout every week if we choose to, but understanding that it is about uniting the body of Christ in truth and love. And so that's what our goal, part of our goal here at Q Leadership is all about. And so as we look at these things, this perverted order, we want to understand what this perverted order births. What does it create? And if you consume in it, as we talked about earlier, you're actually allowing it to come into your spirit. And then what is it birthing? What is creating as you walk out into society? So what we want to go to verse 14 in Genesis chapter 3, when the Lord says of course Adam and Eve has at this point been found, of course, and Lord's giving the directive or a word to the serpent, even Adam, on based upon what he is, his wrath, I guess, his level of discipline, in a sense, of what he's sharing with us. He said to the serpent, because you have done this, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head. I'm talking about Christ here, and you will strike his heel. and said, and he said to Eve, he was going to make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And to Adam, that curses the ground because of you, through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat the food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. And so what are we birthing? So if you look in that, I picked up just a couple things. The word enmity. It is Satan and Eve are basic, fundamental enemies of each other. Natural, everyday threat, all provoking intense emotional response from each other. They will combat all the days of their lives to be subjected to one deception to the next. Okay? And the other part, if you combine all this together, pains and tolls and being under the dominion of Adam, is toiling. The word is toiling. We'll continue to toil each and every day. If it's for pure survival, is it after grief, depression, or whatever toxin or deception or issues that you're dealing with. So what is that perverted order dealing today when it comes to that ending and that pain and toiling? How are we toiling? So we've been talking about our culture and the things that are happening. We started the whole series about talking about our society and parts of our culture and our societal ecosystem and some of the impacts. And so in general sense, we agree that we're fighting against a generation. We have a shift from culture. We're fighting against a generation, not just the young, but also the old, that tells us, as Adam and Eve figured out once they ate of the fruit, they became self-aware. And this world's telling us, once again, moving forward, it's about me. It's about me right now, okay? And we need some of those transformation leaders. We need some of those leaders that the caller talked about earlier, that who are standing on the word and preaching and moving God's word forward. We need people to help shift this momentum. The Lord calls us to be one to another. And that whole togetherness, being each other's keeper, is not about a culture about me right now. And it's about me, and I want it now. So too many of us are sitting idly by. If we are standing on the word, come forward. If we no longer sit and talk about the problems, let's find a way to solve them. Find the common ground on the issues within our society. Let's create that shared vision, that unified thought, and equally yoke ourselves, put together a plan in order to go after this under glorious dominion, guided by Him. So too many of us are sitting idly back saying, this is not my problem. Or sitting idly by in fear or shame or just nakedness, where even in our society, political correctness. That is used to be the word of the day. It's not politically correct to do this or do that. That tells me that when I hear someone say that, their first filter, decision-making filter, is politics first. How do I survive? Rather than that's part of the perverted order, rather than going to the other end of the spectrum saying, okay, what does Lord ask me to do? Well, how do I use my discernment connecting with His perfect will and fellowship and really make the decision? So what I mean by idle, though, I mean idle in two ways. In its truest sense, standing in fear and support and indifference of what happens around us. But on the second point, it seems to be, I want to spell out, and I've used this before, but it still rings so true on what we see that's birthing in our society from this perverted order. So we take the I. I is for irreverence. Irreverence to God's power, irreverence to God's dominion, irreverence to His presence, to His love, to His wrath, having no respect and honoring only self-serving ideas. Isn't that what Satan did? Even with the first lies that when he shared that you should not truly die, and that's essentially not honoring a a divine pronouncement from the Lord Almighty. And then he goes on to say, so for God knows that you will eat and it will open your eyes and you will be like him. So he had this whole notion of insinuating that God was being had some unworthy motives. He's been less than honest. So that whole irreverence that Satan showed for Lord Almighty, and as well as Eve, and as well as Adam, because then start with that perfect divine order of the Lord first. Because of that, they show this whole element of irreverence. Now we go fast forward. Decisions, how we make decisions, what we go to first, what we stand on. Again, it needs to start with the Lord Almighty. In all things, how we position ourselves, our principles, our circumstances, our dreams and families, we are, you know, the question is, in this society, this me now culture, are we really hallowed be thy name as our Lord's Prayer asks us to do? You know, what is higher, what comes higher in your life if when it comes to the sovereignty of God? Is it government? Is how the government reacts and how it moves, if that's your first filter, how you make decisions about your life? Is it your own ideology or some group's ideology that has some truth of the Lord's word in it, but it's not all the word, but it is some of the word, as Satan used in manipulating Eve and Adam? Or if it's just your whole political party, or it could be your business, it could be anything. That whatever you get up in every morning, whatever that passion is that you have in each and every day, that's what you have reverence for. The first thing you do, and lots of times you can understand, but the first thing you do will keep your mind occupied through other, that's your point of reverence. And so if that is the one symptom that is consistent of really understanding, you know, if you understand what do you revere in this, that's how you understand if you are imperfect in that divine order of what the Lord has us what to do. So the second letter is D, is dependence. It's dependence on or anchored on things other than him. You know, where our compass is, either is on self, either is on the world, or is some doctrine rather than having our true north on him in times of joy as well as in times of pain. So when you go right back to where the Satan was able to manipulate Eve in order to make her dependence and anchor what she has, what she was all about in herself as well as the world, looking for new knowledge, looking for some good food, getting access to this eye candy, that it was actually pleasing to the sight. So those things that you're dependent on essentially will drive your life, your worth, all the things that you do. And so at the end of the day, though, you know, who holds you accountable if you're depending on yourself or depending on the world or depending on some doctrine? What's the accountability there? So we have to question and ask ourselves, too, you know, what are we depending on through this whole perverted order that we're experiencing during our society today? Okay, we talked about the I, it was irreverence and idleness, and D, dependence. So L now, we're going to talk about L. It is loyalty that is misplaced, a loyalty that doesn't preserve things that are not sacred and honorable and that are not bigger than us. If we didn't cover it in the scripture at the beginning in chapter 3, Adam was probably had some misplaced loyalties once he bit of the fruit. And Noemi had probably done the same thing. If you Satan attacks something you love and you want to make sure that you stay in line with something you love, and as one of our callers said, if it wasn't Eve, it would probably been Adam, on something that the devil would have came in some other form in order to try to deceive him as well. So when you have that loyalty to something, regardless if it's a political party, if it's your job, it's your work, or so forth, I try to be a realist at the same time. But I also know, I've been on the other side of that, but I also know that you start with the Lord Almighty and entrench yourself in the word and will we have to do, that loyalty to him, and then everything else falls under that at that point. It's that divine order of things where he is your point of reverence at the end of the day. So when we see people just seeking change for the sake of change, when we people following blindly just for the sake of change and awfully fleshly pleasures, as Eve did in the garden, you know, it's essentially the question is, whom do you serve? You know, are you serving that eye candy? Are you serving that fleshly pleasure? Or even are you serving two masters? Or are you serving the Rome master? Is it Satan? If it's Lord and Satan, because you got a mixture of the truth and some deception in the word that we're using. So is it just not to judge again? It is basically a question in order to provide a lens to what we do each and every day. And even sometimes when we hear people be so loyal to a person or a group, no matter what they do, and that was the question I brought up last week regarding Anthony Weiner. Even though all the things he had done, I caught twice and forgiven, and he still got 5% of the vote. And so my question was that just blind? Was that really ignorance or just complete loyalty from some of those voters that voted for him? So that question, of course, still lingered out there. So we got the I, the D, and the L, and now we got the E in idol. E is for something that we all, especially as parents and as teachers and educators, all around, understanding that if there's one thing we have to help us understand is about entitlement, where we are impatient because we feel that the world owes us something just because we are, just because we be. And as the saying goes, you know, I'm going to get mine, you know, sometimes even not willing to wait your turn and until it's your time. I think that was one of my biggest challenges when I first went to college at Jacksonville State some 20-plus years ago. Everybody's home, leaving my hometown, Greenville, Alabama, and being a star and then getting on campus and understanding that you got everybody's hometown and hero on there, and then having to sit back and wait your turn. And that was probably the hardest thing for me, but it was the hardest lesson, but sometimes you have to do that. So this whole level of short-term gratification when it comes to entitlement with the notion the world owes us something now, you know, my life, I use this, and forgive me, I use this our ministry and not only other people's testimony, but my testimony because how much the Lord has done for me and my family is where my life, and I'll talk about me a lot, of course, but sometimes I want to make sure I put it in the context of what we share because it's about revealing what the Lord has done. So my life got a whole lot simpler when I understood that it wasn't about me, that this life was not about me. And once I understood that it was really about giving him the glory, as I start with the show, and impacting this generation, things got a whole lot easier. And so at the end of the day, when you make decisions, when you do things or go after things, the question is, are you second or are you getting yours? And so where do you want to be? Is it different between your kids or your wife or whomever? Where is that? Where is your ability to discern what you need to do when it comes to things you want and need in short and long term? So if you look at, we talk about this me now culture of being idle. This I, A for irreverence, D for dependent, L for loyalty that's misplaced, and E, entitlement. But then if you rearrange the letters a little bit, okay, you start with you put the D and the E, and then on the other end you put the I and the L, and you place a V in the middle. You place a V in the middle. What do you get? You get the devil, who is the big deceiver, who is orchestrating, as we've talked about, all the things we're talking about, this discourse, this perverted order that's happening in our society, in our churches, in our homes, and communities. And he is orchestrating his biggest trick, as I shared with the caller earlier today, about making, he's not lifting the finger because we're focusing on our differences. and we're doing his job for him. And because we all feel that we are different in some type of way, and that V, in a sense, is victimization. We're moving from serving communities and families and nations to really operating in a realm of fear. This whole fear, this toxin that where we're having this whole notion of as a talk, we were talking, one pastor says this grasshopper syndrome. There's a grasshopper syndrome when you think about it, when the 12 spies, when Moses sent the 12 spies to Canaan and to look over, and 10 of the 12 came back and said, you know, Lord, Moses, you know, when we saw the land, it was full of fruit and honey and milk, and when we saw the people, they were like giants and we were like grasshoppers. And so, in a sense, that whole mentality, that whole decision set the exiles back another 40 years. So, but the question is, in all of this, the victimization, is our God so small that he can't fix our problems? Where we feel victimized by circumstances, by our dilemma, by people, our jobs, our dreams, where we are, is he so small where he can't give us our season or get us out of our purpose? Is he so small where he can't cover our shame? As Adam and Eve felt that they had to do was getting in his way by starting to sew up leaves in order to protect and clothe their bodies. So this whole notion about, you know, you see this idleness, this devil, D-E-V-I-L, D for dependent, E for entitlement, V victimization, I for irreverence, L is for Lord to the misplaced. You see that great deceiver, the Satan, he appears now as he appeared then. He is the source. The cocktail is continue to be the seat, and the host is us. And my question is he winning? And do we have some leaders, do we have some gatekeepers who can stand the post at this point, who can stand the post and really move this generation forward, move our leaders of our nation to make better decisions, get out of that gray area, and being idle, and really being idle and not making decisions, but also going beyond common ground. That is so overused. Finding common ground. Finding common ground is nothing, because there's no action come from it. Once you find common ground, as we say in Q Leadership, you got to figure out what's the shared vision, unified thought. How do we unify our thoughts together? And now let's equally yoke together. Let's get these oxen straight as we plow out this field. Here's your role. Here's what success looks like. We're going to go at this together, and we'll deal with the issues as they come. After the break, we want to take some calls or some comments if you have any regarding this idleness from the me now culture. And feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. And you're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be back.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for this calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Who is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. It's definitely been great to be with us with you tonight. And you listen on cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is to lead you where you are and get us on cue with God's will and his purpose. So our question of the day is, of this series, it's toxic leadership, who, me. Last week we talked about confronting reality, and this week we talked about assessing the dis-ease that as a result of that. So, you know, as we look at the relationship between our society, our environment, and the stress or the dis-ease or relationship with our spiritual health, just can't be overlooked. And I know that there's some great pockets of excellent success throughout our nation, throughout our churches, our homes, communities, and so forth. We just want from Q Leadership for people to come forth, and not only come forth, but to share that, and so that we continue to fight against this whole culture that tells our kids, our next generation, that it's about them and it's not about the Lord Almighty. You know, we have to. You know, we all have been angry at some point. We all have had distress or afraid or guilty or depressed or jealous, or it affected our whole being, our mind, body, and spirit, being really at a dis-ease from our – it really kind of paralyzes us at times. And when we understand that our mind, body, and spirit is absolutely inseparable, and so when we suffer from these dis-ease, it's probably because that it's called by this toxin of deception, this perverted order we're talking about, and accepting society's deception as lies, as truth, is really not a spiritual truth. Those who believe that, you know, relationship is God by maintaining some manly or fleshly performance that fuels, you know, religious will to kind of keep spinning, be aligned with stricken the power of God. You know, but because we try to live, we need to live in this spiritual journey with the Lord Almighty, and not adhering to this whole manipulation to control and subscribe to what we hear from leaders, when we hear from society, that is, it is acceptable, that is part of this perverted order. And it's so important to have discernment, as we talk about, it's a key word to understand that this is happening around us, and it's not acceptable. But, you know, this spiritual crisis that such we find ourselves in is designed to kind of stimulate some allegiance to things that other than God. But we have to make sure that we continue to find those gatekeepers and really move the word forward. So this toxic can breed, though. The good news that if we tie this whole back to Jesus Christ, is our Savior, who came here to wipe away these things that Adam and Eve created at the beginning of time. And this toxic breeds this spiritual dissatisfaction, but only Jesus is the only source of that spiritual satisfaction. And this toxin also feeds this sin consciousness, where Adam and Eve realized that they had sin, but grace kind of feeds that God consciousness, because God's grace, not only he gave them grace, when I understand he didn't condemn them totally, but his grace allowed them to walk out and live a longer life. So God gives people a cause to do things, but grace gives people a cause to rest in Christ doing things through him. And so when we think about toxins, it brings this spiritual dis-ease, but God's grace brings the spiritual healing and health and healing. And so when Jesus, the grace giver, came as the spirit of truth to empower all of us who live by love and to free those who are deceived by this whole perverted order, he came to stop to separate us from this way and keeping us from the way of grace living in order to stop this disruption of what we call this deceit, this perverted order, and really set the reality of grace, of creating this community that we need to be one to another and love each other. So this dis-ease is caused by this deception and accepting this truth, and we have to stop those things. And therefore, it's not really a place for the spirit to rest. And it is, in a sense, a spiritual dis-ease. So next week, last week we confronted reality. This week we're assessing the dis-ease, kind of understanding around. So next week, we are understanding how do we detox. Okay, we confront the reality. We know what it is. Now, so what? What do we do? So join us next week. We'll have Pastor Wiley Thornton from Greenville, Alabama, Perfecting Holiness Church, who will come in and share with us of how to detox and what do we need to do after we confront the reality and assess what we're dealing with. And so a few things, give all honor and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks to those who tune in and our listeners as well as our callers, my producer, Assistant Kennedy, my wife, Ty, my youngest princess, Carson, my mom, my mother-in-law, my sisters and brothers, and all my family and friends, Facebook, dedicate this show to the Powell family. I believe I want to do that this month because we've got so many birthdays this month, and so much to be thankful for, and as well as be a see another year. If you'd like to be a sponsor, please email it for onq@qleadership.com. This has been On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Until next week.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
Let us help you get on cue.